Okay, Shalom Vracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Frum Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. As always, we continue to learn the Zecha Nishmasa and the Yilui Nishmasa, Miriam Frun, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, May the Shalom merit a continuous Aliyah Latova and Zechira Latova and the merit of our Devei Torah this evening. And we continue to thank the Frum family very, very much. Tizku the Mitzvah and the Meisim Tovim for their unwavering commitment to these Devei Torah, the Zecha Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So we are back in the Sefer after a very long hiatus. We are up to chapter 27, and it is called Contemplating Each Ratzon, Considering Every Desire. And the title of the whole chapter is Proper and Improper Motives. Right? We're actually in the middle of the Maseilas Yesharim. We're learning an excerpt from the Maseilas Yesharim. I marked off exactly where we were last time, but let me just recap quickly where we were holding in the Sefer, and then we'll go back to the Maseilas Yesharim. We will speak of the goal. What is the goal? You must consider every detail of your life. Every detail, Torah, tefillah, good deeds, eating, neutral matters. So a life of an Eved Hashem is all-encompassing. Consider your Torah and your Torah learning and living and application. Consider your tefillah, the quantity, the zman, the kavana, the modality through which you daven, where you daven. Consider your good deeds, ma'isim tovim. Consider your eating, neutral matters. And examine each act. And you must see if each act is positive or negative. That is to say, who wants to do this and who does not. Remember, we're talking about three layers. The innermost essence, which is the divine essence within every person. It is covered by our will is to do your will, which is covered by the Yetzer Hara, which is do whatever you want and forget God's will, chas v'sham. This exercise will afford you great clarity in life to try and identify which of your different ratzons wants to do or is telling you to do what. You will know which act fosters closeness to Hashem. Those are the acts that stem from the inner will to do Hashem's will. You will also know which acts are harmful. You will identify the acts that are positive but performed with the wrong motives. Any area you are trying to improve, I think I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Any area which you are trying to improve must be clearly analyzed, both during the time set aside for contemplation and when confronting the issue of daily life. So this was the point of departure for a piece by the Maseilas Yesharim that is extremely reflective of what our author is speaking about. I see I want to turn on the light to the left of me because it's dark. I didn't realize. 1 second, please. Okay, that should be better. Whew. So now, let's go back to the Maseilas Yesharim. We are in Parak Gemal, and we are up to talking about Beveir Chelke Hazahirus, the elements of vigilance. So if you recall, the Maseilas Yesharim quotes the Gemara, and the Gemara in Eruvin Yud Gemal Beis concludes that it is better for man to not have been created than to be created. But since man has been created, therefore the conclusion was, I'm skipping most of the first page of Chalkei Zahirus, the conclusion was, because I want to get to new material, Yemashmesh b'masav, Yefashfesh b'masav, actually not in that order. Noach lo adam shalom nivra, yoser mishan nivra, it would have been easier for a person if he was not created, rather than being created. V'achshav shen nivra, but now that he has been created, Yefashfesh b'masav, v'amei le yemashmesh b'masav. So some say, now that he's been created, you should examine his deeds. Yefashfesh b'masav. And others say, Yemashmesh b'masav, he should probe his deeds. So clearly, we have to understand, what's the difference between examine and probe? It's just translation into English, which is a foreign language. So instead of translating, what we need to do is identify what these two areas of Avodas Hashem really want from us. Mitira, and you will see, says the Maseilas Yesharim, Shashnei Halashonas Heim Shtei Asharos Tovus Umo'ilas Mor. These two terms, Yemashmesh and Yefashfesh, are two different warnings, two good warnings, and they have a lot of to'elas. Umo'ilas Mor, they serve a great, very great and very helpful purpose. What does it mean, yefashfesh b'masav, to examine your deeds? In general, look at an overall picture of your deeds and pay attention. Is there something in your overall deeds which you should not be doing? Look at the grander picture. Asher einem hochem al pi mitzvos Hashem v'chukav. Maybe we are doing something, we're involved in a grand picture of something that is not according to the command of Hashem, and it's not what Hashem wants from us. Ki kol asher yimatzu me'ela yivar min olam. Anything of this fashion, a person should banish them from his world. So if you look at the global picture, this is pishpush b'masav, yefashvesh b'masav, which in English is translated here as examine his deeds. If you see overall that what you're doing is not appropriate, just stop. You have to rid yourself of it. But mishmush b'masav is much more detailed and much more nuanced and much more tricky. Why? I'm saying it's not really more tricky. The Yetzer Hara can really find an in this area. We gave an example last time of tefillah, but every single time you daven, it's just more convenient to take your phone out of your pocket, and then the whole time you're getting messages. So the tefillah might be bizman, in the proper levush, the proper nusach, the proper tefillah for the proper time of day. But maybe Hashem just wants you to make a little bit more of an extra effort to put the phone in the other room and not to daven from the phone, daven from a sitter. I was thinking of another example. If a person examines his deeds overall and he sees that he gives tzedakah, yafash pesh b'masav, well, that is a very worthy thing, to give tzedakah. Devarim chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. Your heart shouldn't be hurt. You shouldn't close your fist. You should open your hand to your impoverished brother. Hashem will bless you. It's wonderful to give tzedakah. But let's say someone's giving tzedakah from stolen funds. So if you look at the global picture, I'm giving tzedakah. It's wonderful. But if it's tzedakah, yimash mish b'masav, these are just two examples that come from stolen funds. So is that really what Hashem wants? Is that really going in the way of Hashem? And you start to look at the details of the action. Maybe it's really not what Hashem wants from me. Reading, another example I thought of, reading is good, reading is healthy, reading stimulates the mind. If you're reading certain kinds of publications from the culture of the Umas Olam that contain things that a Torah Jew, explicit things that a Torah Jew should not be reading, or images that a Torah Jew should not be seeing, okay, so maybe reading is very good, but I have to ask myself, what am I reading? So it's not just look at the total picture of what I'm doing, and this is really what our Mechaber told us. You have to examine every area of life, said our author, whether it's Torah, tefillah, good deeds, eating, examine everything you're doing, okay? Even in the good deeds that you're doing, so you have to look at the specific details of the good deeds that you're doing and say, is there a portion in here? Is there a segment in this that is not good that I need to remove and to get rid of? So I'll tell you something very interesting. Last week we learned on Wednesday as usual. Thank you for accommodating my change in schedule. I try not to, but sometimes it's necessary. So Thursday morning, I heard Rabbi Zavlev say last week, I like to give examples that don't have anything to do with me. So Thursday morning last week, I thought of this class and I thought of something that I'm doing globally and then the specifics, I promise. I thought, wait, you just last night taught, you have to look at the global picture. Is it good? Yes. Is every detail of how this is being done good? Maybe not. I said, you just taught last night. You just learned it. You have to change this aspect, this specific aspect of this global deed. So Thursday morning, I really felt like a Gibra HaKovish is Yitzro because it was a specific Maisa that I said, it's very good, but this Nakuda is not good. That's exactly what the Mesillas Hasharim is talking about. And I just gave a couple of examples. Rabbi Zavlev says, I like to give examples that have nothing to do with me. So I do not daven from my phone, and I don't give tzedakah from stolen funds, and I don't read or look up pictures that I should not be looking at. I mean, to the best of my ability. Sometimes you're walking the street, and Rechman Al-Atsan, to the best of my ability. So everyone has to feel, and those are just dugma'o. But the Mesillas Hasharim is talking to every single one of us. I'm not talking to one specific person. He's talking to everybody. And he's explaining how the Gemara is really speaking to every one of us. This is just his explanation of the Gemara. So who are Chazal speaking to? Every single person. Not one person. This applies to all of us. This is like someone who is examining a garment. And he wants to check if this garment is good and strong, if it has wear and tear, if you pull it, is it going to shred, immediately, is it strong, or is it weak and frayed? So you want to examine the garment. Kain yimash mish b'masav. So too a person should examine his deeds. Livchon tuchunasam b'tachlis havchana ad sheyisha zach v'nekisa. We're going to analyze a few things in that statement. We're not going to get through a sentence so quickly. In a like manner, said the Maseilas Yesharim, similarly, you have to examine your deeds as thoroughly as possible to check and to examine and test the nature of your deeds until they will be left zach v'naki. We're going to describe what zach is, and naki means clean. And again, this is how he interprets the Gemara, and clearly, just like Torah Shebichtav speaks to every person, so does Torah Shabbat Alpeh. So he says it's like examining a garment to see if it's strong and good or if it is weak and frayed. So I'm going to quote an article that I cut out of Family First a few weeks ago, actually. January 10th, a little over a month ago. And because, when I was preparing this, the Maseilas Yesharim speaks about garments. Is your garment tov and chazak, good and strong? Or chalash uvalui, weak and frayed. So this piece, I enjoyed it very much. And in light of the current events of this week, of course, Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilim Chasu, the miraculous rescue, mamish miraculous rescue of two hostages, Fernando and Louis, Shayichu, Chermei Vesim Shana, Louis Har, Fernando, Simon, I forgot his last name. In addition, in the past 2 days, five soldiers were killed. I'm not sure if people are aware that five chayalim fell. Five chayalim fell in 2 days. The same night, we heard about the rescue of Baruch Hashem, the two hostages, which is a huge miracle. Not only is it a huge miracle that they were rescued alive and they were rescued alive and Baruch Hashem transferred to the hospital and back in their homeland and back with their families and back with Klal Yisrael. The fact that no IDF or security personnel lost their lives is a second nace. It's a huge nace. But the same night, we heard very difficult news. Sergeant First Class Adi Aldor, 21 years old, from Haifa, and Sergeant First Class Alon Kleiman, 21 years old, from Tel Aviv, both fell in battle. Adi Aldor, 21 years old, was the 12th soldier from his school in Haifa to fall in this current war. And then today, we heard further that three soldiers fell in battle, all reservists. Yair Kohen, 30, Ziv Chen, 27, and Netanel Yaakov Elkubi, 36, who is married. His wife's name is Sarit, and he leaves behind five children. So, five soldiers. Baruch Hashem, we had the tremendous chos, v'shavu b'alim megvulam, v'shavu meretz oyev. Two soldiers came home, Am Yisrael came home, two lives, two worlds. Five soldiers, Rechman Hatzan, were buried over the past 2 days. So the Maseilas Yesharim says you should check. You want to know, is a garment good and strong? Or is it weak and frayed? So this piece really just spoke to me, and I'm going to share it with you. Family First has, since the war started, they have a column called Kavod to them. It's called War Diaries. It's new, since the war started. And they interview different women write pieces about their experiences, personal experiences, with the ongoing war. All we're missing is the background music. As my son walks in the door on Friday in his IDF uniform, M16 slung over his shoulder, and an impossibly huge pack on his back, his little brothers come flying at him and wrap their arms around him. Should I get my camera? Nah, just enjoy the moment, I tell myself, thud. I look up as he slides it out of the bag, and the bag hits the floor. Mommy, do you think you could do all my laundry by the time I have to go back to my base on Sunday morning, he says, with the sweetest, most innocent smile, while he removes the cartridge from his rifle and leaves it in the corner. Where do we have a key? I have to lock the front door when my gun is here, he says. Standard army regulations. Who knew? An M16 in my living room. Totally normal. His bag is stuffed with dirty laundry, uniform, civilian clothing, socks, and underwear. He apologizes that it's more than usual. He's been getting off every other Shabbos for the last few weeks and bringing me his laundry. He usually manages to do a load on base, but this week he didn't have time. His brother came home from yeshiva last night with a suitcase packed to the brim with dirty laundry, seemingly every single item he ever took to yeshiva. And it's been even longer since he's been home. The other members of my family haven't stopped wearing clothing and also need clean laundry. There aren't enough hours in which to finish doing this amount of laundry. And it's Erev Shabbos, a very short Erev Shabbos, I might add. And if I don't get back to the kitchen, we're going to be eating cornflakes at our Shabbos Seudos. The duffel bag is banished to the laundry room. My son, showered and now dressed in civilian clothing, heads out to the door to meet up with friends he doesn't see while he's on base. He grabs the M16 and reloads the clip. Where am I after? That's my place. You're taking that with you, I say. You don't want me to leave it here, do you? It hadn't really occurred to me that the alternative to him taking it was leaving it. This way I have it with me if anything happens, he reassures me. While it's a scary thought, it's not an inaccurate one. I think of the Thursday night a couple of months ago when two girls showed up at my door bearing a cake sent by the local community center to families of the soldiers. Part of me wanted to protest. I wanted to tell my son's on in a combat unit. My son's nowhere near Gaza. I don't deserve a cake. Give it to another mother who worries more than I do. I felt like a fraud. I never wanted a son in the army. I didn't raise my kids dreading and dreaming of the day they would enlist. But my son is a soldier. He has a rifle slung over his shoulder, just in case. Excuse me. Even if I don't want to admit it to myself, just wearing a uniform makes him a target. These girls weren't appropriate receptacles for my inner anguish. I wanted to thank them for the cake and close the door, but to my shock, I was too choked up. Crying in front of them wasn't an option either. So I nodded, I smiled, and they saw my eyes glistening, and I thought they understood. Ready or not, by Motzei Shabbos, I have to face the laundry. I never imagined the day I would be washing IDF uniforms. And here I am, straightening the collar and the cuffs, giving them to my daughter to iron so my son looks his best. I stack knee piles of fresh-smelling clothing into his duffel bag. I hope he feels the love I'm tucking into the folds. I attack my other son's button-down white shirts with stain spray. I inspect them when they come out of the wash. I wonder if laundry is a language of love. I marvel at the contrast in wardrobes. One son, plain white shirts, dark pants, and loud socks. The other, loud clothing, but his socks are solid colors. The dirty piles slowly morph into neatly folded stacks. But I won't have time to finish everything. Soldier's son can't just pick up and leave his base whenever he wants. I have to prioritize his laundry, which makes me feel bad. My yeshiva bachur is every bit the soldier his brother is. I don't want him to feel less important. But he can come home and get more laundry before his brother can. Sigh, I'm really trying. I remember the conversation I had with my married daughter on the day of the recent Jerusalem terror attack. She's close friends with a girl who was injured. I didn't know what to say, so I just listened. The conversation moved to other topics. I had things to do. I tried excusing myself. My daughter kept talking. I schmoozed a little while longer. Excuse myself. She kept chatting. She's a mature adult. My daughter's a mother herself. She doesn't keep me on the phone when I need to go, but her friend was shot. Why don't I get that she just wants to hear my voice? I have shelves of parenting books. I've read every single one of them. But not one single book has a chapter that's titled, What to Do When Your Daughter's Friend is Shot by a Terrorist. I'm the mom. When did I become so inadequate? When did I stop having all the answers? Any answers. I can't even finish the laundry. I say Tehillim, I make challah, I try to keep the peace and not speak Lashon Hara. It's a drop in the ocean of what Am Yisrael is doing. We're all trying so hard. And it matters. Of course it all matters. I would never ever say it didn't matter. But still, the news keeps coming of the loss of another soldier. We hear his name, his age, his battalion, we see his face. What the news can't show you are the ripples of pain radiating from the spot where he fell. The family, the friends, the children, the spouse, the parents, the co-workers who still need that soldier. The hostages still in captivity, the victims of the massacre, the families torn apart. So much pain. It's too much to understand, too much to take in, too much to feel. I realize inadequate isn't the right word. I feel human, mortal. I am unable to understand. And that awareness is comforting. I'm not supposed to have the answers. And I can lean on someone, capital S, who does. So I say another perek. I add more tears to his cup. And I start another load of laundry. I thought it was very beautiful, poignant, and powerful. I guess because the matzav is so much on my mind. And I read, I'm not joking. I cut that out a month and a few days ago. I haven't shared it yet. I sometimes cut things out. I don't know when is the right time. I just think this is so special. I never know when it's going to come. And here I'm preparing with Seals to share. And he's talking about checking the clothing to see if they're strong and good or weak and frayed. And that's what I thought of. A mother in Israel doing laundry for her two sons, one the soldier on the front lines, one holding up the world in the yeshiva. Can be mashmesh big beged. Could you imagine? Oh, you know, there's like an exercise, like train of thought. How do you get from one place to the next? So it would be an interesting exercise to ask different people what they think of when they read this line in the Mesillas Yesharim. You should examine a garment. Is it tov and chazak, good and strong? Is it weak and frayed? So too, yemashmesh b'ma'asav. Livchon tuchunasam b'tachis havchana ad sheyisher zach v'naki. So too, just like you examine a garment, how's the seam, how's the fabric, is it cheap that if there's a string hanging, the whole thing's going to come apart, or is it going to hold up? How's it going to do with washing? How's it going to do with the dryer? Is this a good garment? I don't think the Mesillas Yesharim is writing about the washing machine and the dryer, but the Maisa, translated to our days. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My son said to me, say, why are you saying you're sorry, mommy? You're allowed to blow your nose. He says, you have much better manners than me. I don't say, excuse me, and I'm sorry when I blow my nose. We're at the kitchen table. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of shiur and I need a tissue. Let's go. So he says, you should examine your deeds until you see if they are zach v'naki. What does the word zach mean? I was so excited when I was preparing shiur. Because first I started to write what I wanted to in my sefer, my markings. And then it's Truma Titzava, not really because it's an Ibra Shana, but yes, it's still Truma and Titzava. And the beginning of Titzava tells us very clearly about the menorah. That's how Titzava begins. So what does the Pesukim tell us? Actually, I should screen share with you so you could see it as well. So you could see what I'm speaking about. I'm just getting the pasuk. Here we go. Okay, can you see it says tetzava here? Yes, thank you. So truma and tetzava are the parshios of Mishkan. Okay, the last thing the Mesillas Yesharim told us is you need to examine your deeds until what will be left is something that is zach. Zayin Chaf Sofis and Naki, which is translated in my Mesillas Yesharim is purified and cleansed. Naki is clean and Zach is purified. So what does this have to do with these parshios? Why was I so excited when I was preparing? Ata titzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yichwe lecha shemen zayis zach. Kasis lama'or, Tetzav is the parsha of Moshe's name is absent. So, and you, meaning Moshe, without his name, shall command the children of Israel, and they should take to you shemen zayis zach, oil from olives that is pure, kasis lama'or, crushed for illumination, laha'alos ner tamid, to kindle a constant and continuous flame. Where do you light the menorah? But Ohomoy, these are the first two Pesukim of Parshas Tetzaveh, which because it's an Ibra Shana, is next week's Sajra. Ba'ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, michutz the paroches, meaning outside of the partition. The paroches is the curtain that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, the partition that separates between the Holy of Holies and the Holy. And the menorah is found in the space called the Holy. It's one of three golden implements found in the space of the Kodesh. So it's outside of the paroches, meaning it's not in the Holy of Holies with the Aron Kodesh. It's on the other side of the partition. Asher al ha'edus, the paroches separates from the Aron ha'edus, the Ark of Testimony. Ya'aroch, also Aron uvanav, me'erev ad bokev, me'ashem. Aron and his son shall arrange the lamps from evening to morning before God. And Chazal say, quoted by Rashi, the menorah is lit every night with the same amount of oil, whether it's the long nights of Tevis or the short nights of Tammuz. Chatzi log shemen, chukas olam, an eternal statue of Dor Rasham for generations, me'es b'nei Israel, from the children of Israel. I love you. I think I have to sneeze again. Excuse me. Are you happy we're not in person? Not nice. Okay, what should I do? Let's go. I was saying today, thank you, Hashem, for tissues. That is being serious. I really said one of my thanks, just random. Thank you, Hashem, for tissues. So, the oil has to be shaman oil, zayis from olives, zach pure. Let's see what Rashi says, which I'm putting here on the screen for you. No, I didn't mean to click on the Ibn Ezra. Mistake. Rashi. Okay. Zach. Bilishimarim, without sediment. So there can't be any sediment in the oil. Kasis, crushed. Hazesim kosesh b'machtashas ve'eno tochanen berechayim. The olives are gently pressed in the olive press, but they're not ground in the mill. If you grind, think of your food processor, a grinder. If you grind the olives, what's going to happen? You're going to have what? Not only the oil, but you're also going to have smashed olive. The oil that is used for the illumination in the menorah cannot have any sediment from the olive. So it needs to be pressed so the oil is extracted, but it cannot have any sediment of the olive, the pit, the skin, whatever. Kedei shelo yebo shmarim, because there can't be any sediment in this oil. After that first drop of pure oil is extracted, which they use to light the menorah, then they put the olive back in the grinder, and that is good for karban minachos. So karban mincha, which are flour offerings mixed with oil or anointed with oil, can have oil with sediment, but for lighting the menorah, it cannot have any sediment. Vashemen hasheni, the second oil, pasul la menorah, the kosher la menachos, the second oil that's going to have some sediments because it's crushed in a harsher fashion than gently pressed to extract the oil. The second oil is pasul. It is usher to use it for the menorah, but it is okay to use it for karban mincha. Shenemar kasis la ma'ar velo kasis la menachos, crushed, pressed for the lighting, the illumination of the menorah, but not in this fashion for the menachos. Lahalos nar tamid madlik atshatei shalheves olam eileh. He lights the flame until the flame goes up by itself, which is a big lesson in Torah and in chinuch. The menorah, of course, represents Torah. Tamid is called laila v'laila karui tamid. So tamid here means consistency, which is something that you've heard me say many, many times. Tamid does not mean always. I mean, it does. It also means consistent. So the menorah was not burning always. Lalos ner tamid, says the pasuk. The menorah was not burning always. It burned through the night. It was lit and burned consistently. Called laila v'laila. Always means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the menorah was burning. But that's not when the menorah burned. They lit it at night. And it burned through the night. And in the morning, the kohen would clean out the wicks and the oil from the night before by Tivas and Eros. Okay, olos tamid, just like the karban tamid, which was offered on the Mizbech HaNechoshes, the copper altar, they didn't offer it always at every second. They offered a karban tamid in the morning and a karban tamid in the evening. So tamid, we see from the Mishkan, does not mean always. It means consistent. And this is crucial in Avodas Hashem and ties in so beautifully to Arshir. A person needs to have consistency in Avodas Hashem. So imagine if I teach one thing. The Ramban says in his famous Igaris to his son, When you finish learning in a sefer, get up and see if there's something you could apply to your own life. A person needs consistency in his own life. So the way we behave in public, outside the home, wherever it is, must be the way we behave in private when it's just me and the Ribono Sha'olam. Tmidus. Where do we learn Tamid from? We learn Tamid from the Mishkan. Tamid is always, the Lechem Aponim sat on the Shulchan always. So the showbread was always on the table, literally always on the table. They had special tool that when they slid off the old bread and pushed in the new bread. So the shulchan was never without bread. So the shulchan, the lechem aponim, was taka their tamid. But when it came to lighting the menorah, and when it came to the korban tamid, the sacrificial daily offering, it was consistent. Why does a Jew need this in his avodas Hashem? You always need to be examining your deeds. It's a huge task. We always need to be examining our deeds, and we need to consistently be examining our deeds. And these are not one and the same. However, they are both necessary for this Hashem, for this Hashem. So the Mechaber, the Mesilas Yesharim, tells us, just you examine your deeds, just like you examine a garment, to test if it's good and strong, or if it's weak and frayed. Kain yamashmesh b'ma'asav. That's how you have to examine your own deeds. Livchon, you should test. Bechina. Give yourself a bechina. Give yourself a test. And you have to see what is the purpose. What are you doing? Where do they fit? And if there's things that should not be there, you have to purify yourself. So you should remain zach v'naki. So zach is the quality of oil that is used on for the lighting of the menorah. Pure or clean. Mesilas Yesharim says that's what your deed should be. Rabbi Zav Lev points out that when we recite Pirkei Avos, it's not in so long, Pesach. It's coming up. We shall all be well. B'sha'a tovu mitzachas. We shall be healthy and well. In Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Karban Pasach, at Olul Regal. So, what do other teachers do if they need a tissue and shear? I don't know. What do? They use a tissue? No one's saying yes. They do, right? Okay, shouldn't feel bad. Huh? Here we go. So Rabbi Zav Lev points out that the Mishnah tells us, Ratza Kolish Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael. Lafichach here balem toru mitzvos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mizaka Yisrael. He wanted to make us meritorious. Therefore, he increased for us Torah mitzvos. Rabbi Zalev points out something so obvious once it's pointed out, but I never considered it till I heard him say it. Zchus, you know, you should always say tizki mitzvos, tizku the mitzvos. We should be zocha for mitzvos. We should be zocha shemeshuras tovos. Zocha, zchus, lezakos. Is a two-letter shoresh. That's the same shoresh as zach. Purify. Ratzah Kosh Baruch Hu lezakos as Yisrael. Hashem wanted to not only make Israel meritorious, Hashem wanted to purify his nation. Hashem wanted to cleanse, take out the sediment, remove the Yetzer Hara from his nation. Ratzah Kosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. He wanted to make you like Shem and Zay Zoch. He wants you to be like the Mesilas Yesharim says, Zach v'neki. If an action is not good globally, get rid of it. If the details of what you're doing is not good, then change. Hashem wants to make you Zach. Ratzah Kosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. Doesn't only mean Hashem wants to make you meritorious. Hashem wants to cleanse and purify Israel. Therefore, lafichach, what's the only way for a person to cleanse themselves? And I'm talking about spiritually, I'm not talking about taking a shower. What's the only way? Lafichach hirbalahem, Torah u'mitzvos. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu increased for us Torah mitzvos, because only through the Torah and asiyas mitzvah could a person become pure and cleansed. And that is the path to examining our deeds, and that's not only the path to examining our deeds, it's a path to changing our deeds when necessary, being intellectually honest, being self-aware, and being courageous enough to be the gibor HaKovesh Yisro, the soldier who conquers the Yetzer Hara and is able to make himself zach, pure, without sediment of sin, which will make you meritorious through the completion of Torah and mitzvos, and then you will be naki. We're going to go into the next paragraph of the Maseilas Yesharim. I just want to see. Okay, so Baruch Hashem. So Nancy says, earlier today she was rewarded for consistency. I was able to remain patient while dealing with my annoyance. I firmly believe that that comes from years of Torah learning and years of working on your Yetzer Hara and studying the Aleph Beis and being self-aware and being aware of where you're holding in life. It changes a person. It totally changes a person. And Baruch Hashem, we see concrete, like you said, spiritually rewards for being able to walk on the path of Hashem. And that's Zach. Lezakos and Zach. Let's go back to Maseilas Yesharim. Klal Hadavar, this is amazing. And thank you to the person who direct messaged me that I'm human and it's okay and I don't need to apologize. Klal Hadavar, the summation of the matter. Yeah, Adam Me'ayen Amasav Kulam. Oh, a person should survey. He should check out. He should examine all of his deeds. Remember what our Sefer said? That's why our Sefer, Bava Mishkan Evna, reminded me of this piece from the Maseilas Yesharim. Because the Sefer says, where is it? You must consider every detail of your life. That's exactly what the Maseilas Yesharim is talking about. The Hineini, oh, Klal Hadavar, therefore the summation of the matter is, Yeah, Adam Ma'ayin Amasav Kulam. Umifakeach al kodrachav, mipakeach, from the word pokeach ivim. You have to examine all of your deeds. Our Mechaber told us that includes tefillah, good deeds, eating, neutral matters, etc. And the book says, examine each act, seeing if it's positive or negative. So again, he's not quoting the Maseilas Yesharim, but to my mind, he's based right now on the Maseilas Yesharim. You have to examine all of your deeds. Umipakeach al kodrachav, open your eyes. And look, someone's not muted. Oy voy voy, thank you. Thank you. And you have to open your eyes on all of your path. Shelo lahaniach la'atzmo hergel ra umida ra'a. That's what happens if you don't open your eyes and examine all of your path. You're going to let yourself go. Lahaniach la'atzmo hergel. Habit has a very powerful way of working its way into our lives. And you could have hergel ra. You could have habits that are not positive. You could have habits that are bad, but you don't even realize. Umidara, you could have character traits that are bad. But if you don't open your eyes and examine every deed, the problem is that we don't even realize sometimes what needs to be changed. Kol shekein aveira upesha. Never mind if you're actually involved in sin and iniquity, says the Maseilas Yesharim. That for sure you have to root out, but maybe it's just, and I'm putting that in quotes, a bad character trait. Maybe it's just a bad habit that also has to be rooted out. The hinini ro'at sorech la'adam. There is also a need for a person. Sheyeh midaktik v'shokel drachav davar yom b'yomo. You have to be so exacting when it comes to your deeds. You have to weigh your deeds, every aspect, every path you take, every single day. Like what? How should you weigh your deeds? Kesocharim hagadolim asher yifalsu tamid kol iskem leman lo yis kalklu. When you have merchants, they're going to be very careful with their merchandise. When they're sailing in the ships, when they're running a business, when they're making a sale, when they're in the marketplace, you could rest assured they're weighing all of their merchandise and counting it very carefully to know how much there is so that there's no loss to them, so that the deal doesn't go sour. Merchants are very careful to know exactly how much merchandise they have. Not only that, merchants will establish and set aside times and hours for this. So obviously, the spiritual mashal is, he's talking about physically, merchants who are selling their goods. But the spiritual mashal is for all of us. We have to examine our deeds, like a merchant examines the ware that he is selling. And you should establish set times and hours for this. This reminded me of the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph. Kavata itim Torah. Did you establish set aside times for learning Torah? Kavata itim Torah. That's one of the six questions we're going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes. Kavata itim The Torah. Did you establish a set time, not just to learn, but did Torah dictate the times in your life? Did Torah dictate the hours in your day? Did you have a kavius, routine of establishing time for Torah in your life? And therefore, you must establish times and hours for this. Shelo yemishkalo arai. Arai is like random. Yeah, it's translated as random. Correct. It can't just be, you think the merchant would randomly weigh his items without paying any attention to what he's doing? He's going to be very careful. That's what we have to weigh are these. Ela b'kavias gadol. You have to do it kavata itim. He uses the word kavias, kavata, and itim together in the same sentence. That's a better translation. Thank you. Taking personal inventory, like a merchant takes inventory of a stock. Okay, thank you very much. We must take personal inventory. Like a merchant takes inventory of a stock. I like your translation. Thank you. The Hebrew words he uses are kavius itim, which is exactly what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, kavata itim la Torah. Did you establish set times for learning Torah? Will be asked. Ki rava toladahu. And you must adhere to them, bekvius godo, with great set times, because there is so much at stake. And I'm skipping a little in the Masilas Hashem. I'm not telling you everything here. However, the Maseilas Yesharim points out something very powerful. He then talks about the importance of conquering your Yetzer Hara. But he says as follows. The problem for us who have hergel, who have by habit, perhaps inappropriate midos or inappropriate actions, sometimes you can't even see. You think your eyes are open, but we don't even see the negativity of our ways or the danger of our ways. So how do we come to this awareness? How do we open our eyes? First of all, yes, through Torah and mitzvahs. Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael, l'fika chirbalem Torah and mitzvahs. Learning Torah and doing mitzvahs will absolutely change a person. But the Maseilas Yesharim tells you as follows. V'zeh, ki ha'etzah amitis hazos. This true advice, what advice, how to conquer Yetzer Hara, are recognized by pishpush and mishmush, what you should not be doing, whether it's a grand picture or the details. Lo yuchlu atesos of lo leros amita, ela osam shekvar yatsu mitachas yad yitzum umo shlubo. This true advice, who can give this advice? Who could see the truth, leros amita, of the matter? Allah also shekvar yatsu mitachas yad yitzram umashlubo. The ones who see the truth of the matter are the ones who already manage to extract themselves from under their yitzhar. The ones who can see the truth of the matter are the ones who rule over our gedolim, our talmidei chachamim. You're in the presence of a gadol and you sense the palpable kedusha. The people who have managed to extract themselves from the hands of their Yetzer, and they rule over the Yetzer, or not vice versa. They're the ones who understand how to examine your deeds totally, and examine your deeds in particular, and if something's not good, to get rid of it. Ki mishuhu adayin chavush b'masar Yitzro. Someone who is still in prison, in the prison of his Yetzer Hara. Chavush b'ma'asar yitzro. He's in prison of the Yetzer Hara. Ein einav ra'os ha'emes hazos. Sometimes the first step is that your eyes don't even see the deficiency of my ways. Our eyes don't even see. You want to do pishpush and mishmash. But because we are still trapped in the prison of the Yetzer Hara, we don't even recognize the reality that's right in front of us. Our eyes cannot see this truth. The Eino Yachol LaHakira. And we're not even able to recognize it. Ki HaYetzer Misame Es Eino of Mamish. Because the Yetzer Hara Mamish blinds his eyes. Ki HaYetzer Misame Es Eino of Mamish. The Yetzer Hara Mamish blinds his eyes. V'hine Hu Kaholeich B'choshach. And he's like someone who is walking in darkness. Shgeish lefanam michshalos ve'ein anav ra'ososam. Someone who's walking in darkness. There might be before him stumbling blocks. But because he's walking in darkness, total darkness. Not a headlamp, not an iPhone flashlight, not reflections from the streetlight above you. Mamish darkness. So if there are stumbling blocks in front of you, the problem is you don't see them. So spiritually, if a person is walking in spiritual darkness, the problem is that he can't even see the stumbling blocks. Where do we take guidance from? We must take guidance from our Gedolim, our Tzaddikim, our leaders, our Tzidkanios, those of us, Aheni Machas, or Robertson Kanievsky, Allah, we must be Mechazek, we must learn from those who are greater than us, because they have escaped the tentacles of the Yetzer Hara. They see the true reality, while we may be still imprisoned in the prison of the Yetzer Hara, and therefore our eyes cannot see the truth. We daven, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. I recite every morning in the Birkas HaShachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not only give us the gift of sight, which he should give us the gift of sight, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, but he should give us the gift of spiritual sight. He should help us open our eyes to both examine all of our actions globally and then look at the fine points and have the courage and the tenacity and the heroic spirit to conquer that which needs to be conquered and banish from within and amongst ourselves those midos and those actions that need to be banished, so we will truly be able, Shaman Zayis Zach, Kasis Lamar, Lahalos Ner Tamid. Oive, 1 second. Okay, 1 second. All right, I wish everybody a week of Besuras Torahs and Yeshuos. We should be zocha to see the complete fulfillment of Vishanavu Banim the Gvulam, Vishavu Me'eretz Oyev. But as Hashem, we will continue next week. The shir should be a Heilig Aliyah for the Neshama of Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHasham. Thank you so much, and Besuras Tovas. Kol Tov, thank you. Thank you to all. Thank you very much for your Fushleima wishes. Kol Tov.